This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. This week was so insane. We actually started the Insane Things Podcast yesterday. Just to get it all in, this is a continuation. We'll start with Insane Thing number 7. For anybody who remembers the part where to keep your job, you had to get the shot, because, you know, it was the safest thing for everyone. Turns out that was a lie. A remarkable admission. And there's a reason it's happening right now, I'll tell you. The shot is actually dangerous. Alarmingly so. That's the headline in the UK Daily Mail. Yale scientists link COVID vaccines to alarming new syndrome, causing distinct biological changes to the body. Finally, they admit it. Yale scientists link COVID vaccine to alarming new syndrome, censored scientists and doctors warned about for years. And it's said to cause, quote, distinct biological changes to the body and is similar to what those in the medical field, who quite frankly were called conspiracy theorists, and ultimately we now know from the Twitter files censored by the FBI. This is what they described, and some of them tried to treat for years. They have a name for it now. They're calling it post-vaccination syndrome. It appears to cause brain fog, dizziness, tinnitus, exercise intolerance. Some sufferers also show distinct biological changes, including differences in immune cells. Yeah, they don't work so well anymore. And presence of coronavirus proteins in their blood years after taking the shot. By the way, that right there, the spike protein, that was called a conspiracy theory by the New York Times. Well, this is Yale scientists admitting, nah, it was real. The UK Daily Mail continues, the condition also appears to reawaken dormant viruses in the body called Epstein-Barr, which can cause flu-like symptoms, swollen lymph nodes, and nerve issues. Why admit this right now? And this is a bombshell, folks. They're not going to admit this all at once, because there'd be people with pitchforks and heated tar storming through the streets of Washington. This is what they do after they tell a big, big lie. They walk it back bit by bit by bit. So each individual bit sounds bad, but not as bad as the whole picture. Not as bad as admitting this is a bioweapon designed to hurt the American people. So they begin with this admission. Why do this? Well, this came out 48 hours after RFK Jr. announced that he might pause the COVID and mRNA shots, and that he was reviewing the safety, that the safety needed to be reviewed. Okay, some background on that. You might remember from my previous Battleground America podcast, RFK has been suing the FDA and the CDC for this information for years. He's gotten bits and pieces of it in FOIA lawsuits. And even though the judge has ordered this to be released, they've stonewalled him. Well, they got a problem now. He's the boss. They have to turn it over. Health and Human Services is over the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. In other words, he doesn't need a lawyer anymore to get this stuff by suing. He can walk down the hall, theoretically, and get it. Isn't it funny, the instant he announces this, that they release this from, you know, the vaunted Yale scientists? And folks, what's going to happen next is they're going to stay one step ahead of Kennedy, because if Kennedy announces it, it's going to be a scandal, right? He found it, cover up, they lied. So if they're like, no, we discovered it. Hey, we just let you know we figured it out. That's what they're doing right now. Okay, the next step, they're going to admit the cancers. They're going to admit that the spike protein crosses the brain barrier and causes real neurological damage. And again, this isn't all in everybody or we'd all be dead. I didn't take the shot, but a lot of people did. My dad got turbo cancer from it. They're going to admit this bit by bit by bit by bit. And folks, this was the product of censorship. The FBI censored it. The FDA censored it. We know that from the Twitter files. That's a fact. So what this means, folks, is that they knew this the whole damn time. And by the way, this is exactly why the creator of the mRNA vaccine, Dr. Robert Malone, whose name is on the patent, along with the rest of the creation team, warned that giving a whole society an mRNA vaccine was a bad, bad idea. See, the American people were never told. I know a lot about shot trials because I did an investigative report on the flu vaccine. By the way, don't take it. It really doesn't work and hurts your immune system. Yeah, it's bad news. But mRNA vaccines, mRNA is a totally new technology, right? So if you're talking about old technology, like the flu vaccine, like all the vaccines we have, the shot trials on those run an average of 7 years. Some go as long as 16, okay? But that's old technology. With mRNA technology, that's new technology. It's never been used in human beings before. Folks, we didn't do a trial with it. They approved it under an emergency authorization when they could have used ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to treat and stop COVID. They had to lie about that too. In other words, they conducted a shot trial on the American people of a totally new vaccine technology, the mRNA vaccine. They're still operating off that emergency use authorization, even though they've now begun to use mRNA shots for other stuff, not just COVID vaccines, although they still, have those too. Folks, this is a health disaster. In the future, in addition to the cancer, and they're going to tell you about the blood clots as if they didn't know. They did. They knew. They knew the whole time. They especially knew the whole time they were forcing people to take it or lose their jobs. They're also going to admit eventually that it causes blood clots in people. And they're also eventually going to admit that there were at least 300,000 excess deaths caused in the United States alone by these shots. But they can't do it all at once because, like I said, there'd be folks with torches and pitchforks in D.C., can't do that. But you're beginning to get a look at why Dr. Anthony Fauci needed a pardon that goes all the way back to 2014. Now, if you took the shot, I don't want to scare you. What's causing these problems in people's bodies? You notice the part where they're beginning to admit, oh, hey, there's COVID-like things in your body. That's the spike protein. That's what that is. The good news is ivermectin and zinc can kill the spike protein. If you want to get ivermectin, go to alldaychemist.com. That's alldaychemist.com. It'll say you need a prescription. You actually don't. Just put your doctor's name in. Then make sure you take it with zinc. Go online, especially on X, and just look up doctors, COVID shot recovery protocol, and you can find how to take it. You can knock that spike protein out. As long as it stays active in your body, it is doing damage. That is what it is intended to do. It is a bioweapon. So take that advice, go use a protocol, and take the medicine yourself. Kill the spike protein. By the way, everything I just told you about the spike protein, they're eventually going to admit all of that too. But we're still in the beginning stages of this. And by the way, they're acting like this is new. That's the thing that enrages me the most. I mean, when you have Chris Cuomo, formerly of CNN, used to push people to get the shot, admit he was shot damaged, and he had to have a team of doctors handle the damage to him. Well, what's the average not rich person supposed to do? They don't say. But this is one heck of an admission. And as RFK plows through the FDA and the Health and Human Services Department, there will be more rapidly. Look for it in coming weeks as they try to stay one step ahead of him. Insane thing number six. There's so many programs we could point to that DOGE has found now that show you how outrageous and out of control the federal government is, that it really more closely resembles a crime syndicate than anything else. And Jesse Waters was right this week when he says that's the way they like it.
Washington's been broken for decades, and Washington's fighting to stay that way. Because when things don't work, you can't find the money. The government's living in the dark ages. They have rotary phones, microfiche, retirement caves, and computer software from the 60s. And 80-year-old politicians who don't even know how to use a computer, and they don't care.
Yep, that allows them to hide stuff like this. The Education Department was just forced to cut this week a $600 million program for, quote, teacher social activism. Or this, 4 million credit cards in use, active credit cards in use by the federal government. Here's the really weird problem with that. There's only 2.4 million federal government employees when you subtract the ones that are in the military. So how many transactions did they rack up last year? 90 million? Folks, these numbers boggle the mind. Which brings us to insane thing number six this week. One of the most iconic videos, photos from October 7th, the Hamas slaughter, was the picture of the mom crying, looking despondent, holding her two babies in her arms, one just 9 months, the other 3.5 years. That was Sherry Bibas, an innocent civilian, and her two young toddlers, Ariel and Kafir. Him with the passy in his mouth, beautiful little redheaded children. Well, this week we learned, after Trump's demands, they're sending them back. There will only be bodies. The baby, the toddler, the mom, murdered by Hamas. As the savage Gazans stood in the street cheering as the bodies passed them by. Folks, these people are savages, but they're also highly brainwashed. So what's the excuse of the folks at USAID? I've documented on past Battleground America podcasts how USAID funneled more than $2 billion. You can only look at it as a reward. I mean, that's how Hamas looks at it. To Hamas since the October 7th slaughter. Because, and brace yourself, so you might want to sit down before I tell you this. They were murdered, and that might make you mad. But do you remember last tax season? Or the one before it? Rushing around, getting all your stuff, maybe to the accountant. You had a new write-offs, getting those together. Yeah, you made sure you paid up every cent. Or maybe you just had it pulled out of your check. Well, you'll be happy to know that the men who murdered those two little babies and their mom are getting a lifetime stipend on your dime, your tax dollars. $97 million was paid out by the Palestinian Authority to the Hamas terrorists who conducted the October 7th raids and who also took those hostages and kept them. That's your money. It was part of a tranche of $265 million sent to the Palestinian Authority by USAID. Now, here's the problem with that, and it's a big problem. Back in 2018, under Donald Trump, Congress actually passed a federal law making it a crime to send money to the Palestinian Authority because it was well known that they pay out stipends with it, either to families of dead terrorists for the rest of their lives or to living terrorists as a celebration for their murder of either Israelis or anyone they can kill in Israel, including Americans. So you literally paid the Hamas terrorist who murdered these children and their mother. And I've got a question. At some point, is anybody going to prison for this? Or how about for this? The Taliban is a designated state sponsor of terror, so it's illegal for us to fund them too. But that didn't stop USAID or the State Department from providing over $1.7 billion in funding, which they shipped in cash to Afghanistan. Now, we've talked a little bit about this before. There's actually photos that ran in world newspapers of $40 million of it on the tarmac in Afghanistan after we sent it. And what we did was print Afghan currency it turns out, just basically pieces of paper. And then we had auctions where they traded those pieces of paper for U.S. dollars. And they did that to get around the terrorist funding prohibition, which makes doing this illegal for whoever at USAID did it. Even worse, the money then went into the National Bank there in Afghanistan, which is controlled by the Taliban. You want to hear something outrageous? Guess who runs the National Bank? It's a guy by the name of Noor Ahmad Aga. He is a specially designated terrorist who's been named as the financier of bomb making, including the IEDs, which killed over 1,000 American soldiers. And sending money to a sanctioned figure is illegal. But your laws don't stop USAID from doing this with your money. So, look, if you listen to yesterday's podcast, you can understand why Trump did something that hasn't been done since 1886. Took total control of the government, running everything through the Oval Office. This truly is an emergency situation. Insane thing number six. Margaret Brennan of CBS News actually claimed this week that the Holocaust was caused by free speech in Nazi Germany, and that by advocating for free speech in Germany, where the Holocaust happened, J.D. Vance was somehow a Nazi? Or reenacting the very policies that somehow led to Nazism?
Well, he was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And he met with the head of a political party that has far-right views and some historic ties to extreme groups. The context of that was changing the tone of it. And you know that the censorship
I have to disagree with you. Free speech was not used to conduct a genocide. The genocide was conducted by an authoritarian Nazi regime that happened to also be genocidal because they hated Jews and they hated minorities and they hated those that they had a list of people they hated, but primarily the Jews. There was no free speech in Nazi Germany. There was none. There was also no opposition in Nazi Germany. They were a sole and only party that governed that country. So that's not an accurate reflection of history.
But none of that was actually the most insane part. No, the most insane part was that Margaret Brennan of CBS was torn to absolute shreds on social media, on Twitter in particular. So much so that that particular conspiracy theory was not repeated by the mainstream media after that. What's insane about that is that 5 years ago, all of the legacy media would have immediately begun repeating variations of Brennan's Holocaust caused by free speech lie. And within months, pollsters would find that 50% of Americans believed it. And eventually, anyone denying this quote unquote truth would be ridiculed as a Nazi sympathizer themselves, fascist or extremist. But now we have X, and it's Brennan who's rightfully being ridiculed. And the lie has been stopped dead in its tracks. They can't move if they can't lie. They can't maneuver. They can't manipulate if they get stopped dead in their tracks with facts. But they don't have a controlled media environment anymore on social media. They don't have the FBI censoring this and boosting that. And so, after a lot of mocking, it was stopped dead in its tracks. Folks, watching what happened with Brennan this week was remarkable. We finally saw a lying mainstream media hack in the process of trying to launch another fake narrative, another hoax, stop dead in their tracks. Folks, had we had this X environment of free speech that we have now, I dare say Russia collusion hoax would have been laughed right off the page. It wouldn't have lasted a month instead of the 2.5 years it lasted. There never would have been Pulitzer's won for it. And if we'd had this during COVID, I don't even think we would have gotten to lockdowns, and we would have never gotten to the deadly vaccine, the dangerous vaccine that I laid out in the beginning of this podcast. So it's good news. We're making progress. But while we're talking about insane things, I don't know if anybody else caught what Vance did. It was incredibly daring, but it also shows you where we are in the world, that the U.S. is literally the last flame left against totalitarianism. Because here's what Vance did in that Munich speech that Margaret Brennan was talking about. He deliberately broke the speech laws of the UK, Germany, and France when he accurately blamed unvetted migrants for many brutal crimes, attacks on European citizens. It's true, but it still violates the Online Safety Act, the Digital Services Act, and the laws of Germany and France. Why? Because even if what you're saying is true, if it causes offense to minorities, protected minorities, so nobody who's on the right counts, right? You can offend them all day long. But if it causes offense to minorities, you can be prosecuted. And Vance clearly did this on purpose. What he said was almost exactly what German right-wing AfD politician Marie Kaiser said. She was convicted of speech crimes for accurately quoting government statistics that showed that in Germany, Afghans and Africans are proportionally 40 times and 70 times more likely to be involved in gang rapes than German nationals. Yeah, they're Muslims. Their religion teaches them that it's not a sin as long as the woman you're gang raping is an infidel. But even though she, you know, accurately quoted government crime statistics, she was still convicted and fined $6,000. So, folks, it was an absolute thrill up my spine to watch J.D. Vance stand in front of these leaders, do the same thing, and then walk out of there, not in handcuffs, because he could have been arrested. Insane thing number five, the total panic in Europe over the idea that the Ukraine war might actually end. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer and French President Macron are on their way here to America. They're so alarmed. They want to discuss Ukraine with President Trump. That's after Trump accurately called Zelensky a dictator without elections on Wednesday. And European leaders are growing fearful, according to Politico, that Trump will, quote, side with Russian President Vladimir Putin over the interests of longtime European allies. Folks, I don't know why we are required to pretend that we still have anything in common with Europe. I mean, it was just last fall that the top prosecutor in the UK announced that they would be extraditing Americans for trial for speech crimes committed on social media on American soil. It was just last fall that France opened a criminal investigation into Riley Gaines, Donald Trump, and other pundits in America for violating the free speech laws of France on social media. But it was shocking how Trump seemed.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know that Zelensky actually is a dictator. That's not widely known unless you're really up on Ukraine. To recap Zelensky's history, and it's pretty brutal. I mean, folks, at least Saddam Hussein held fake elections. Zelensky suspended the elections in Ukraine and then overstayed his term. Well, that wasn't very popular, so we went ahead and shut down all free media, consolidated it, and only allowed state media. Well, when rival political factions didn't like that, he simply outlawed them and sent their leaders to the front lines, where many of them died. And if that weren't enough, he stripped them of their assets. The worst, though, was the case of American citizen journalist, and I think probably one of the premier foreign correspondents of his generation. He was, until Zelensky killed him. He continued reporting anyway from Ukraine, filing the videos that have taught me so much about that particular country, going all the way back to when he wasn't even banned because it was actually hip to tell people. that the Biden and Obama regime were supporting were Nazis. In fact, you could read in USA Today, if you go back a mere 6 years, I think it's seven now, actually, that maybe funding Nazis in Ukraine, funding revolutions in Ukraine led by Nazis wasn't such a good idea. The left was very concerned about it because Nazis the world over and white supremacists were flocking to Ukraine. But then it became something you weren't allowed to say. And Gonzalo Lira's videos, which had been standard fare on the right and the left, became a problem. So they picked him up, took him to prison, tortured him, warned him not to report anymore, and released him. Well, Gonzalo Lira didn't listen. In his last video, which he recorded, he said he was headed to the border with Hungary and that within an hour, he would either make it over or they'd pick him up and kill him. He never made it. He's dead now. Vladimir Zelensky's government murdered him. Folks, this is astonishing to me today, given all the attention on Brittany Griner, folks that Russia has held hostage. Russia's not a good country. But the fact that Zelensky was just allowed to kill an American journalist with whom he had a disagreement over coverage, and it was no big deal, is astonishing. And it's really gratifying for Trump to finally call him what he is to his face. And no, Zelensky does not belong in negotiations, not at all. Now, folks, if you followed Zelensky versus Trump for a while, you remember that Zelensky tried to get himself an invitation to, you know, all the inauguration stuff, was absolutely rebuffed by Trump. Why? Well, there's another problem with Zelensky. His government offered assassination bounties, awards for assassination of Elon Musk, Tucker Carlson, and human events editor Jack Posobiec. We covered those in depth at the time on the Battleground America podcast. Only one member of Congress gave a damn, J.D. Vance, then a senator, wrote a letter to the Pentagon outraged that tax money, American tax money, was being offered in bounties for the murder of American pundits. Now, if you're Trump, imagine how you'd feel having Zelensky around, taking him seriously. When the guy who showed up to assassinate you at the golf course had worked out with the Azov Battalion in Ukraine, had been caught in pictures with them, both in parades and protests, and who had been interviewed as a Ukrainian mercenary by U.S. mainstream media. That's the guy who shows up at the golf course? That's the guy who had 17 cell phones? We still don't know who he contacted on them or even who might have been behind him, because the 33,000 pages that Congress requested from the FBI and the Secret Service were never turned over. Congress was gaffed off, you remember. So if you were Trump, I know what you'd be thinking. I know what I'd be thinking. Did Zelensky send this guy to kill me? Now, Zelensky's just a figurehead. You got to understand, the Ukrainian government is basically the CIA, the State Department, and so some Obama-era officials. Did they send Ryan Ruth to kill Trump? It's a legitimate question. What's even more remarkable, folks, is that you're potentially watching the disintegration of NATO. The only purpose of NATO is to protect Europe from Russia. Russia having 150 million people, Europe having 590. Russia barely being able to hold its own. Yes, it was beating Ukraine, but look at how long it's taken. This idea that Russia is some kind of threat to Europe is absurd. It's almost bizarre, which means NATO doesn't really need our money anymore. And Trump doesn't seem to give a damn at all what NATO thinks. Doesn't seem to care that there was outrage earlier this week when Trump's $500 billion plan with Ukraine was unveiled. And Trump let them know, we're not going to mortgage our kids and grandkids' future to pony up more money for Ukraine or to rebuild it. But we're happy to continue helping you if you give us sole access to any mining rights for your minerals and 50% of the revenues from all of your valuable natural resources, including natural gas, coal, oil, and the minerals in perpetuity. Oh, and we'll manage the mines and control any contracts that result. Give us that, and maybe we can talk. Otherwise, pound sand. Insane thing number four. Y'all Oh my gosh. Wait till you hear this. So Lee Zeldin, Trump's administrator of the EPA, is trying to track down this $20 billion. Folks, I said earlier on the podcast, it boggles my mind that a mid-level Biden appointee at the EPA can simply transfer $20 billion out the door to eight preferred Democrat operations, right? And then the world's stunned that Stacey Abrams got $2 billion when her organization had only, you know, existed for a few months and had never handled more than $100 in any month, right? It gets more shocking because Zeldin found another $5 million going to to another Democrat operative. He leaves the NGO, comes and works for the EPA, and then the money gets transferred right back out to his NGO. But that's not where the story ends. Take a listen.
The entire scheme as set up is fraud. It's wasteful. It is abuse. We just had another example come out over the last 24 hours where $5 billion went to another recipient. That person was the director of the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. He comes from this fund, joins the Biden administration, becomes the director of the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, and then gave $5 billion to his recently left former employer. That sounds like self-dealing. That sounds like a conflict of interest. And the other problem is that all of this money was put up front. It wasn't like there was performance. You show performance, and then you ask for the next tranche. It was, here's $20 billion. And it was going to their friends on the left, as opposed to making sure that the money is going directly towards the purpose that you...
Okay, folks. There's only, in America, I looked this up, 519 companies worth $5 billion or more. That's the scale of this. But it gets worse. When he starts digging into the contract, he realizes what they're doing. They actually have written it so the EPA promises not much oversight. When you listen to the next clip, you'll find out why.
And Congress should want me to ensure that there's accountability and oversight. The way the agreements were written, when the money goes through the eight primary recipients receiving $20 billion as a pass-through, when it goes to the sub-grantees, yeah, the EPA isn't even a party to those account control agreements. The EPA actually put in writing that we would have less oversight and accountability, and many of those sub-grantees are also pass-throughs. The members of Congress, they should all be outraged. They should be upset that tax dollars are getting squandered as opposed to...
Contracts written so the EPA promises not to monitor or do much monitoring once the money moves to NGO number two? Yeah. Now, listen to how this was in the contract for Stacey Abrams. Again, that's the $2 billion.
They then got $2 billion in this grant in 2024. Now, I was just reading over the grant agreement, Laura. On the first page, it gives the organization, this nonprofit, 21 days to distribute $2 billion. But this is the crazy part. I went to page 7 of the grant agreement, and it's giving the entity 90 days to complete a training called How to Develop a Budget. Now, I would say that if an organization needs to take a training on how to develop a budget, one, they should be taking the training before they're spending a dollar, but they definitely shouldn't be getting $2
billion. I'll say, but go back to that part where she's got to disburse the money within 21 days. Why would they do that? Because they always intended for it to go into Democrat campaign coffers. Yep, that's the breaking scandal this morning. See, some of that money that Stacey Abrams had went into an organization called Powered Forward Communities. Further scrutiny showed Powered Forward partners with Southern Economic Advancement Project Fair Count. That's two nonprofits founded by Abrams, as well as the American Federation of Teachers and the AFL-CIO, both of which are aligned with Democrat policies. But listen to this. The coalition also collaborates with Climate Power, a group that turned around and launched a $55 million ad campaign supporting Kamala Harris's presidential bid. Yep, I knew it, folks. I know this makes you mad, but the good news here, and there is good news, it looks like the Democrat Party was completely astroturfed. There's not a lot of grassroots here. They were robbing the federal government blind. In other words, folks, this is just one $20 billion grant in one government agency that Lee Zeldin's only looking at because the mid-level Biden guy who did the grant got busted on video. He thought he was on a date with a cute boy, but it was actually an undercover reporter with a video camera, and he volunteered that he threw 20 gold bars off the Titanic to get it out of the hands of Trump supporters. You know, just sent it to his friends. So, folks, this is just a tip off. So, you know what this tells us? A lot of this may not look like fraud, like it has an address the money was sent to and the group seems legit. We need to start going into these groups. Folks, this is going to take DOGE 4 years to find out what Democrat, what campaign, what organization the money ended up in. You know what? This makes sense. Why the richest zip codes are the ones around D.C. The theft is almost unimaginable. Insane thing number three. Along that theme, some just basic numbers from Elon Musk's Doge team out of Social Security. These are just cursory, okay? In other words, the obvious fraud. $72 billion they found off the top in fraudulent payments over the last 7 years. It's through 2022, 2015 through 2022, okay? They haven't completed 23 or 24. So $72 billion over 7 years. Listen to this. There's another 44,000 Social Security recipients who have birthdays earlier than 1920. All of them are getting checks. 44,000. So that's not included in the $72 billion. They're going to have to go through each one of those and ascertain whether these people are dead. Insane thing number two. This week, the Jewish Family Services Center of San Diego, an illegal immigrant shelter, shut down. It had been funded with $22 million a year. That center alone employed 100 people. But for the last week, there hasn't been a dang person that's gone through it. Not one. In fact, New York Post immigration reporter, she and Bill Malusian are the best in the country. Jenny Tare, who has been covering the border full time for more than 3 years, said she's never seen the border like this before. Here's what she says it's like for Border Patrol agents when there's no one there. In fact, there's now more of them than there are of the illegals. Folks, during Joe Biden, all-time highs under him got to 11,000 illegals apprehended on the border a day. Those were the highs, but that's how bad it was. Listen to how it is now.
They're so jubilant. They have their jobs back. They're not in these processing centers anymore with thousands of migrants every day to what they've, you know, their job was babysitting. That's what they say. And now they're back on the front lines and they're outnumbering those illegal migrants. When we saw Giovanni get caught, that Mexican migrant, he was surrounded by six Border Patrol agents. I haven't seen anything like that in my years of coverage on the border. This is something that is bringing the morale back to the Border Patrol. It's giving them their purpose back. They don't feel like they are just doing catch and release all day and knowingly releasing people who are criminals and terrorists and national security risks. Now their job is to catch those people and kick them back as soon as possible.
Folks, it was always possible to do this, and it was always possible to do this in under a month. That was the big lie the Democrats told. Remember when they even got Mitt Romney on board and Republican Senator James Lankford to lie to you? They wrote that immigration bill to support Joe Biden. Man, he couldn't stop the flow, and we needed to pass the bill, but mean old Donald Trump wouldn't let him. Do you remember what was in that bill? What was in that bill was that before Trump could close the border, he would have to let 3,000 illegals across it every single damn day. And you know what I think now? We didn't know this at the time when Lankford was lying to us, and he deserves to be primaried and lose his seat in the Senate. He's useless. You know what we didn't know at the time? Remember, we would later learn that Kamala Harris's polling never showed her ahead ever. They knew they were going to lose this election, folks. And they wanted to write a law that would force Donald Trump to leave that border open. That's what that bill was about. You never needed it. Insane thing number two. Try to wrap your mind around this, okay? Breaking news this week from Revolver Magazine. This is another DOGE discovery. The U.S. military, that's the Pentagon, was paying to have conservative news sites censored. That's right. They were funding something called NewsGuard via USAID. So the DOD sends the money to USAID. They pass it through to NewsGuard to try to cover it up. NewsGuard maintained blacklists of sites, pretty much all of them conservative, right-wing, or liberty-oriented. And what they would do is they send people out, basically from, you know, from NewsGuard, they know they're from the federal government, to warn advertising agencies, major companies, not to advertise on these sites. Well, that involves an implied threat from the federal government. It'd be really shame if that business year or something were to happen to it. I mean, you know, SEC investigation. Yeah, the companies are terrified. And so when you look at this, this means the Pentagon, the military, which is not constitutionally supposed to operate on our soil, had been at war, a propaganda war with the American people. Now, keep in mind what we've learned last 2 weeks, also from Doge. This is the same Pentagon, the same military that paid liberal news outlet Reuters $9 million for, quote, large scale social deception, or LSD. A remarkable admission that even the Pentagon knows that what the mainstream media does, particularly Reuters, is large scale social deception. So to wrap it all up, on the one hand, they defund, demonetize, and pressure the defunding of the people telling the truth, those of us on the right, while on the other hand, funding large-scale social deception. Folks, if you had any doubt the Pentagon is at war with you and that it has been colonized by the Marxist left, there you go. We're learning so much from these expenditures and from Doge. Insane thing number one. It's a small thing, but it's my favorite story of the week, and it says everything about how things have changed in D.C., even remarkably from Trump's first term. There's a guy by the name of Leland Dudick. He works for the Social Security Administration, and when Doge showed up asking for help accessing data on the system, he helped them. Well, his boss, upon learning about this, almost immediately suspended him for doing so, and informed him that he would be under investigation. Well, here's the best part. Within hours, Dudek's boss was fired, as was his boss. And you'll never guess who is currently running the Social Security Administration. That would be Leland Dudek. He's now leading the agency on an interim basis. Here's the best part, though. He replaces Michelle King. Michelle King was called before Susie Wiles, chief of staff for Donald Trump, and asked to provide the Doge team with access to the system. She flat out refused. And folks, you gotta understand, this is why Elon Musk and his teams are looking out. That is the level of obstinacy they're encountering. And without exception, every agency head, and by that I don't mean political appointees, I mean those who've been part of the bureaucracy in agency after agency after agency, has flat out refused to provide this access. So instead of her being the acting director of the Social Security Administration, Leland is now. Love it. That won't be permanent. Trump has to appoint somebody who's got to get confirmed, but still.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.